Devin Booker has played 26
26 games. Man, y'all
so he's
crazy,
missed
man.
Four games.
Okay.
50, 38, 85. Come on, man.
What? Oh, his numbers? Okay. How can we... Does Basketball Reference do comparison? Like player comparisons?
They don't need to. Oh, Booker's better. He's going to pull that off and Basketball Reference is going to be like, why are you comparing these guys?
You got to do it on your fantasy.
Like Keldon Johnson, maybe.
Keldon Johnson. Fuck out of here.
Man, that guy's jacked. Oh my God. You ever seen a picture of that guy?
Yeah, he's a monster. He's huge. And he's like 21.
Yeah, he's almost as big as Zion.
Yo, no. Did you see the play the other day when Zion just fucking bodied Daniel Tice midair?
Oh, that was amazing. No, the better one was him against Thompson.
I didn't see it. Oh, Thompson like flung over, didn't he?
Yeah, it was like the game-winning play.
Yeah.
He just backed him down and put him through the basket, literally.
Yeah.
And Thompson's a big dude. Like, he's fat.
Yeah.
He's got a fat ass. He's not fat.
He's a pretty big boy.
He's got a fat rebounding ass.
By NBA comparisons, he's a fat boy. You know it.
Yeah, sure, but...
He let himself go after the whole Kardashian thing.
Yeah.
Don't blame him. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Hoops Corner. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, the Iceman himself with a new mic and all. Josh Cohen, how you doing?
Hot like the Raptors right now. No longer the Iceman this week.
What? Do I have to change your name?
You might have to. Call me the Microwave.
Nah, man. That's Vinny Johnson. You can't have that.
Feeling like Chris Boucher behind the three-point line. They were running plays for Boucher last game like he was Kevin Durant. It was weird to watch. And it was working.
Yo, Kevin Durant might be taller than Chris Boucher, though. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Kevin Durant's one of those, you know, KG type of guys where he's 7'1". He wants to be listed at 6'11".
Yeah, 6'12".
Exactly, 6'13".
The banger in the paint with the bright lights shining behind him. Rajon Walia, how you doing?
You know what? I'm doing pretty good. We're going to be talking a bit about All-Star Weekend. And it felt weird going through Valentine's Day and not having any basketball, any all-star basketball.
It was awful. I'm not going to lie to you. As someone who's like grown up with it, every Valentine's Day, it's just been that. But it was strange not being able to celebrate it how we usually do, you know, together, watching a basketball game instead of with our wives or girlfriends. Okay, I want to hit this quickly because over the last week, I know... Brian Windhorst just started reporting about this, I think last Thursday or Friday. NBA Top Shot has become a real thing, guys. And Raj, I don't think you're on it, right? You haven't bought in? You're not,
no,
buying
no.
the hype?
I don't got the finances that you guys do. I'm working off that debt right now, so.
Okay, well, Big Baller Josh and I apparently are well invested into this new thing. Josh, how you feeling over the past week?
Sort of ruined basketball for me. I know we talked about this off the podcast, but every single play now, I just see it as a top shot. And it sort of made me zone out. And then when I zone out, I end up going to the website and looking for more items in the marketplace. So,
no.
Yeah. Like, I have not been watching as many games as I usually do, especially lately, because I've been spending way too much time on top shot, seeing how my guys are doing and, you know, seeing what the market's at, if I should change the prices. Take certain items off, put you know, certain items for sale. So it's been quite the whirlwind. And plus I made a massive purchase, which who knows if it'll work out or not, but we'll see.
You're actually putting your money down. That's why you're so invested into this now. I'm the same way, man. It's like I haven't been able to watch a real like a basketball game without thinking about Top Shot in the back of my mind whatsoever. Like every little moment, it could be something. Or I legit had like a dream about opening a pack the other day. It was like so Raj, we have like a group chat with some other guys, and every time like a pack is like unveiled, we all, you know, hit each other, be like, yo, everybody get on, da da da. And I legitimately had a dream where that exact scenario happened, and then two of us got a pack. Like, not even all four of us. It wasn't that great of a dream, apparently. But only two people got a pack of like fake cards. It's Yeah, it's something, all right.
So, did you guys get any Charizards, or am I missing out here? Because like you guys are just telling the story of Pokemon when people started getting more invested in the cards than the show itself.
That's basically what it is now.
Yeah, you got to collect them all.
Like, recently, I guess, yeah, I think it was last night when Portland was playing against Phoenix. And I'm not sure if you guys saw the play where Devin Booker just completely shook. I think it was Derrick Jones Jr. And then he got to the basket and made like a really nice layup and one.
Yeah.
And then all I could think about during that period of time after he made the basket, you ever seen that meme with Zach Galifianakis where all the math is going through his head? Yeah. It was like that, but with Top Shot. I was just thinking to myself, you know, when this ends up going online, like I really want to get one of the Top Shots and it's going to be like, you know, serial number 8,000 is going to be for, you know, $126. And what's it going to cost in the market value in a couple of days? It's just, I don't know. It's really hurting me, my brain.
Like, my God, that's exactly how one of our buddies felt when the Anthony Edwards dunk on Utah Watanabe happened too. As soon as that happened, he hit us. He was like, yo, we got to get this card when it drops.
When that card comes out, it's going to be worth tens of thousands, if not 100,000.
Yeah.
Yo, someone's going to buy that for Anthony Edwards, man. I guarantee it. Or they'll rig it and just have him coincidentally open his own card in his own pack on Twitch.
Did you see what Josh Hart did? Like when he first got on Top Shot, he asked a bunch of people if they could send him one of his cards. And then somebody sent him like a pretty valuable one. It was like serial number under 1,000. And then like two hours later, he was selling it. He said that he wanted it for himself or his own collection. Then all of a sudden he's on Twitter like, oh, who wants to buy this? And then the person responded to his tweet like, I just gave you this 2 hours ago. Thought you said you're using that for your collection.
What a snake.
Yeah.
Wow. The disrespect from Josh Hart, man. I thought he was a man of the people. Clearly just after his own wallet.
Clearly.
All right, well, I'm going to transition this back to the Timberwolves because a little bit of strangeness happened the other night. It was on Sunday night, right? Where after a loss to the Knicks, the Timberwolves fired former head coach Ryan Saunders. Obviously, we all know Ryan Saunders was son of former head coach and president of basketball ops Flip Saunders, who was, you know, a legend for the Timberwolves team back with like Kevin McHale and KG as their star. Ryan Saunders gets in, and you know he got the team after Thibodeau was there, right? So he got a team where Jimmy Butler had already destroyed all the morale. We've talked relentlessly about Andrew Wiggins's I'm gonna say lack of progression as a player there, you know, the lack of development that we've all harped on for a long time. Karl Anthony Towns apparently being one of the best big men ever according to Josh, but you know, not really ever learning how to play defense without Kevin Garnett, and just a rotating cast of mediocre to below mediocre role players, right? And then on top of that, they make the trade for D'Angelo Russell last year. And then Kat goes down. Like, how many games did they play? They played two games together between Kat and D'Angelo Russell?
I think it was five.
Yeah, I think it was five.
Five, like, all including, right? So two last year and then three this year. So Ryan Saunders pretty much being given, like, a shit deck of cards, essentially, right? Or a shit hand. So they fire him. It is what it is. You know, Gerson Rosas came in, I think, two summers ago and had already held interviews when Ryan Saunders was the interim head coach, which is fine. You know, you got to do what you got to do as a GM. And to everyone's surprise, instead of, you know, promoting an assistant coach to become the interim head coach, which is the common practice in this situation, they went and hired an assistant coach from the Toronto Raptors, Chris Finch, to be a head coach. So not just like, oh yeah, we're going to promote an assistant coach to become the head coach or an interim coach, but we're going to bring a brand new coach into the system. So a guy who hasn't been around, doesn't know the players, doesn't know what they're running, we're just going to bring him in anyways. The season's pretty much shot. We're not even going to bother trying anymore. And so, I don't know, they're at this point where Chris Finch and the team, like the players especially, or just at this weird standstill, like, you know, as a player, do you side with this new guy that just came in? Do you listen to more of your assistant coaches? Like, what do you do exactly? You know what I mean, Josh? Like, how do you even approach a situation as a player?
I think as a player, you just have to see it as this guy's going to be my head coach if I'm going to be here in Minnesota for the next, when you sign a 4-year contract. So he's locked in. He's obviously Rose's guy, and they're going to be tied together for the next 3 to 4 years. And if they don't produce the results that they need to, then Rosas is going to be gone and then the cycle will continue. But this more so has to do with ownership. We've seen the saga with, you know, Kevin Garnett and Glenn Taylor throughout the years, and KD trying to bring in a team of guys to buy the team because Glenn Taylor's basically run that franchise into the ground and they just have no leadership at the top. And, you know, I think that Finch will be fine, but that team really needs an overhaul in terms of their overall vision and how they really want to move forward. Because right now they have what, like one legitimate starter, D'Angelo Russell, who's always hurt, and then Beasley's played well this year, so he's probably another, you know, decent starter at least. And then the rest of their roster is just a bunch of parts right now. And you have Anthony Edwards, who's shown flashes, but overall he's been really inefficient in his first year. But at least they have him. But they're spiraling in the wrong direction right now. But honestly, for this year, that might be a good thing, because they'll end up with one of the top picks in the draft. And then hopefully you can, you know, parlay that with Anthony Edwards and Kat, plus get a top three guy. And then you hope D'Angelo Russell actually plays next year.
Wow, no love for Ricky Rubio when you're naming off starters, eh?
No, he's been brutal this year.
Yeah. Like the Ryan Saunders firing, it's been coming. Obviously, they were looking for a coach. Even probably when they fired Jack Layton, who's the previous GM, they weren't obviously happy with the progression of the team. And the roster isn't great. On top of that, you had injuries with Cad and D'Angelo. And I think with Ryan Saunders, if we go back to that Raptors game when they played against Minnesota, the way that Minnesota was unable to get the ball to Cat late in the game when he's clearly your best offensive option and the Raptors really have no big that can keep up with him was almost disgraceful. It was just a bunch of Beasley chuck up threes and Rubio really running the clock down and then getting a terrible shot up. But with the hiring of Chris Finch, I don't know too much about him. I think this is not going to be an easy problem to fix. It's not like they have an identity right now. They just have a bunch of pieces, but their pieces they have are, I would say, just as good as a team as Sacramento. But they definitely need to develop an identity and really look to play a certain style of basketball. And if he's coming from Nick Nurse's coaching tree, maybe they start playing a bit more defensive basketball. But again, when your two stars are Kat and D'Angelo Russell, who are maybe not the most durable, hardworking guys, then it might pose different questions. But honestly, Minnesota's probably not going to make any big jumps or leaps this year, and it's going to be unfair to evaluate Chris Finch because him and the GM have just inherited a roster that's broken into so many different random pieces, although there is talent on that roster.
Hardworking guys, eh?
Let's just say that Kat obviously has dealt with his own fair share of adversity, and his work ethic has been a bit questioned. His natural talent and skill is there, but I think some people at times question his commitment.
You know, as the resident Kat lover over here, I must say that, you know, a 7-foot guy that shoots over 40% from the 3-point line can't be considered, you know, a guy who doesn't work hard. And plus, he's got every move in the bag right now in his offensive arsenal. It's just a matter of his defense. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, the overhaul of the roster every year. And then systems, you know, like their roster is just a mess, you know? Like you can play the more defensive guys, but then you can't score, right? Okogie and Jared Culver, like they're really good defensive guys. But on the other end, people don't guard them. So then you're playing 3-on-5 out there. And then half the time, Russell's not even playing anyway. So then you're playing 2-on-5 with Rubio on the lineup. So their roster is just a mess. And they really need to figure out what they want to do going forward. But again, this year, like I saw some of the quotes from Finch in his press conference. And he basically said that he's going to make sure that Kat is the guy in the offense. Whereas this year, it seems like they're running more flow type of offense where he's just, you know, he's one of the guys that's in the lineup or whatever, but he's not really a guy that they've really focused on, like getting him post ups and mismatches, like you mentioned at the start, and just getting the ball in general. Like he should be taking 20 shots a game on this team easily. especially as a guy that can just pop out to the 3-point line. Like, it's not like you have to post him up every time. He's like super multidimensional, and they just haven't really dug into that enough.
Yeah. And not to blame Ryan Saunders too much, but I think they just weren't able to get one of the most dominant offensive players. Like, he was a fantasy monster because he was such a high usage player for Minnesota previously, and they really haven't gotten that out of him this year, and probably at the end of the last year. Obviously injuries played a huge part and him dealing with his personal adversity. But question for you guys, Chris Finch comes in with this current roster and the injuries he has, who's the starting five? And obviously we all agree that Cat has to be the focal point, but how do you arrange this lineup with the pieces that they have? Because again, there's talent there. It's just, it doesn't fit well.
Is there talent,
I don't know if there's actual talent. Okay. Not high caliber NBA talent, at least.
No, I think there's some really good pieces that a lot of, I would say, championship level teams would look for those individual pieces, but not all of them combined.
No, there's like 2-3 players at most that I would put on a championship caliber team. Like, I would put Beasley on a championship team. Obviously, Cat.
Edwards.
I wouldn't say he's championship caliber player.
No, but he gives you that same energy off the bench. Like, obviously he's a rookie. You can't expect him to be drawing double teams or putting up 20 in like 10 or 20 in like 8 a game. But
not even that. I wouldn't expect him to give me like 10 points or like 8 points in a playoff game or in a finals game, especially.
I think if he ended up in the right situation, he could have had the similar impact as Tyler Hero did.
Yeah, that's arguable. Wow. But, you know, in this situation now, like, they just need to tank. What they should do the rest of the year is just, you know, give Cat as many touches as they can to start off, to, you know, show that the offense is changing and everything's going to revolve around him. And then later in the year, you put out reports saying that, you know, he has these minor injuries and you sit him out as many games as you can. And then you put Edwards as a focal point for those games that Cat's going to be out, get him as many reps as you can. Lose as many games as you can, and then in the offseason, you figure out what to do with all these parts that aren't exactly developing the way that you would have hoped, with like a Kogi and, you know, Culver and Vanderbilt. Like, Vanderbilt's been all right this year too. He's an energy guy. He's a guy you should probably keep, and again, see what he has going forward. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that they're missing the most is like a veteran presence on the wing and guys who can actually play like 25 minutes a game for you and not be a huge negative on one side of the ball.
Yeah, they have a lot of one-dimensional players, and I agree that they should tank. Like, there's no point of them really trying to make a push or try to win a lot of games late in the season. Like, they're really not going to benefit from that. The one interesting thing is I think they probably need to reevaluate this Russell Towns situation. And obviously they've only played 5 games together and they've already traded a lot to get Russell, but I think the lesson is having two players that are best friends, just pairing them together doesn't always necessarily work.
Yeah, and Rose's starting you know, his tenure doing that was never a good sign. You don't just want to like make your star player happy by getting his best friend when you know that their ceiling might be like an 8 seed if everything goes well. So they might want to try to cut bait. You don't even know, like, Russell's at his lowest point right now. Like, if they can, they're probably going to get a draft pick for him. So maybe you have to hold on to him the year. And then maybe as he starts off the year well next year, maybe at that point you start looking at a trade.
Yeah, I'm tired of talking about these Timberwolves. Can we just move on to the All-Star reserves, please?
The actual good players.
We're going polar opposite here. Like, we're going from the cellar to the cream of the crop.
Okay, well, so we're recording this on, like, Tuesday afternoon. The All-Star reserves are going to be dropped tonight on, like, some sort of NBA on TNT thing. I think tonight is, like, with Dwayne Wade and Shaq. So, you know, I guess they'll get the shine. But I still want to go through our own reserves, right? So I'm going to name off some guys who I think are the locks as reserves. And, you know, you guys can tell me whether you think they are or not, and we'll go from there. So to start off, as my reserves, I have Anthony Davis as a lock, even though he's injured.
Easy.
All agreeance.
Easy.
I guess.
Come on, man. He's like a top 5, top 7 player.
Yeah, but has he played at that level this year? I mean, I agree that he's a lock.
It doesn't matter.
But how many games does he miss too?
It doesn't matter. You know he's going to be in it.
Yeah,
but you know the coaches are going
to. We're talking about guys who deserve to be there. We're talking about guys who deserve to be there, or guys we think are actually going to get picked.
You can take it however you want, Josh.
This is a silly argument. This is easy.
Yeah, come on, man. Next, Paul George.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
MVP caliber season.
Easy pick. No. I mean, what is he not MVP. Like 50-40-90 this year? First time he's done that?
Yo, like crazy, crazy three-point percentages. He's at like 47% from the three. This guy's an animal.
Yeah, and the fact that he's shooting over 50% from the field too as mainly a jump shooter is pretty impressive.
And the like probably the lead ball handler on that team, because realistically, Pat Bev ain't handling the ball.
I think Kawhi would like a word with you.
No, he wouldn't like a word.
Actually, no, he probably wouldn't.
He'd just stare at me. Next up for my front court, I have Rudy Gobert.
Easy. Yes. Like he's arguably right now he's the top three center in the game, and if Utah continues on this crazy run, he has to be in contention for MVP.
I'm not gonna go that far.
He's a huge without Gobert, they're nowhere as good of a team. Like from the from that position, like most valuable player on their team, they would not be even close to the first seed.
Yeah, but Rudy Gobert is not going to get MVP.
No, no, but
no matter what, like they will never allow that narrative to jump that
Shaq
far.
Shaq would be so pissed. You got a guy averaging 13 points a game, making $200 million a year. You're going to call this man the MVP?
28-15. That's what I need. Damian Lillard, obviously.
Lock.
I think we're all in agreement that he should be starting this game instead of Luka.
Yeah, even Luka agrees.
Yeah, I'm a Luka guy, but I would say Dame deserves it.
And that's what I have for my locks.
Oh, come on, no. Other lock has to be Donovan Mitchell. Like, that's just outrageous.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. I just didn't highlight him. You're right.
Like,
I'm Donovan Mitchell.
I thought you were just playing with me because I've been a Mitchell guy since Mitchell Simmons rookie of the year debate. Like, I'm rocking with my guy. Donovan Mitchell is a lock for the other guard spot.
Josh?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. He's probably next in line. I think it's just a matter of now. Like, do you give three All-Stars to the Jazz or do you give them two?
That's where we're going to go soon. So, hold on. Let's just get the locks out there first. So, do you guys have Devin Booker in this?
As a wild card? Oh, there's four guys that I'm thinking between.
So, okay. I have, like, to choose from. I mean, Devin Booker, DeMar DeRozan, Josh, your favorite, Chris Paul, obviously Devin Booker's backcourt mate, and Zion, who I think will just get in because of fan voting. Because AD has to be replaced. Adam Silver has made it his thing that he always just chooses the next player in fan voting, and Zion's going to be next in line. So I think Zion's going to replace Anthony
Davis. Yeah, but the coaches don't look at that, though.
No. You're right. I just have him getting in as a replacement. Just putting it out there.
That's fair.
So we're looking at Conley, Chris Paul, Devin Booker for the two of those spots, right? Oh, and DeMar, sorry. Anybody else?
I mean, you got to give a shout out to Shea. Shea's had a really good year. He's not going to make it, obviously, but he's been really good this year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll give shout outs, but, you know, he's not
he's
not
in pushing, contention.
He's not there. He's an honorable mention, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, honorable mention is just about right. But for those two spots that initially get it, who do you have, Peter?
I hate to do this. I have DeMar in there.
DeMar what? Who?
DeMar DeRozan,
are you
bro.
Out of your
Come
mind?
On, man. They're like the sixth seed. He's averaging 19.8, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds. Come on.
Okay, so who are you leaving off?
So you have DeMar and who?
I don't know if I'm dropping Booker or Chris Paul.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Or Conley.
You know what? I know. I think Conley's not going to make it.
Nah.
As great as it would be, as fun as it would be to have him finally get it after all these years, I think it's better if he doesn't. I want him to be, like, it's shitty for his career, but I want him to be that guy that just never makes it.
But should have made it, yeah.
Yeah, like the best player to never make an All-Star team kind of guy.
Oh, absolutely. But I think Connolly's not going to get it, regardless of how much praise we have and how well the Utah Jazz have been. So really the top, those two spots are really between Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Zion, and DeMar. And you have DeMar and who?
Just take Zion out of this.
Okay.
No, you can't take Zion out.
Why?
Because he's in contention. Like, he's probably ahead of those guys if you look at the raw stats.
Yeah, his team is too bad, man.
Yeah. So Peter has
no coaches are going to give him that.
So Peter has DeMar and who?
I don't know, man. It's a coin toss between Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Right now, I have Chris Paul, but in like 20 minutes, you can convince me of Devin Booker.
Yeah.
First of all, Phoenix has a much better record than San Antonio. That's first. Second of all, both Devin Booker and Chris Paul are putting up much better stats than DeMar DeRozan. So they have stats and record, and you want to put DeMar DeRozan over both of them? Are you crazy?
Yo, it's not. They're not that much better. They're 2.5 games ahead. Let's relax.
Is Phoenix standings like 20 and 10 right now?
Phoenix is 20-10. Yeah, San Antonio is 16-11.
They just played less games.
Yeah, it's not their fault they had a COVID outbreak.
Yeah, I don't believe in San Antonio. And plus,
stupid Keldon Johnson.
Their team COVID. Improving more so has to do with DeJounte Murray taking a leap and Keldon Johnson taking a leap than it does with DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, who's allowing them to take the leap? DeMar is literally playing point
Coach
forward.
Coach Popovich, that's who.
Get out of here.
If you compare Josh DeMar DeRozan's numbers from last year versus this year, his numbers last year are better.
Josh, he's averaging 7 assists.
So what? Chris Paul's averaging 9.
No, he's averaging 8.5, but okay, sure.
And this is not a fair debate. Like, we should just completely leave Josh out of the segment because not only is he pro Chris Paul, he's anti DeMar DeRozan. Like, this works both ways. You know what? I'm gonna go with Chris Paul over any of those final four. So I'd definitely give Chris Paul a spot, and I would give DeMar DeRozan the second spot. And then obviously I think Zion, just with the fan voting, will get in for AD.
Josh, I'm assuming you have the Phoenix backcourt in there.
No, to me, I think that Zion's probably a lock. And then between the two, like, you can't go wrong either way, honestly, between Booker and Paul. But DeMar DeRozan, come on, man.
DeMar's going to make it, man.
He has nothing
over
either of those guys. Nothing.
He's going to make it, Josh.
He's not going to make it. Are you crazy? The coaches are not going to make DeMar DeRozan.
Side bet.
Sure.
Side bet for one NBA top shot play.
I guarantee you the last spot is going to come down to one of the Suns guys, and Zion is making it for sure. So I don't think DeMar's making it. There's no chance.
Yeah, I don't buy it, Josh. I'm sorry.
But the coaches don't even know San Antonio is 16-11 right now. And even if they did, they'd be like, oh, Phoenix has a much better record, so let's get both the Suns guys in, or at least one. It would be a travesty if neither of those guys made it, by the way. Imagine like DeMar and Zion made it instead of Booker and Paul. What a travesty.
No, Paul's making it. Paul is making it 100%. The way that he's turned around the fortunes, he's made a lot of the Phoenix Suns better, obviously, with Aiden and Bridges. I think Paul is almost a lock over Devin Booker. It's really going to be, is Devin Booker going to get it or DeMar DeRozan? That's what it's going to come down to, because I think Zion's going to get that spot for AD because of the fan vote. So it's really going to be DeMar DeRozan versus Devin Booker. And you know what? Maybe Devin Booker gets it, but I think DeMar DeRozan's just as deserving. If actually, I think he's more deserving.
No.
Okay, let's move on to the East. So to start the East, we have Kyrie and Bradley Beal. In the front court, it's Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Kevin Durant, right? I forgot to mention the West, but I think people know the starters by now. So as my reserves and as locks, my two guards are Jaylen Brown and James Harden.
Easy money. That's
no argument there.
Slam dunk. Yeah.
Jason Tatum as a forward?
Absolutely.
I think he's more so towards like the end of the ballot now. He hasn't played that well in like the last couple weeks.
He has like almost the exact same numbers as Jaylen Brown, which is hilarious.
Isn't Jaylen Brown shooting like 55% from the field though?
I think he's like 48 by now, or like 51 or something. Yeah, so it's like their numbers are similar enough that, you know, they're comparable.
I think Brown's efficiency is like much higher than Tatum though.
That's about it. Yeah. And that's pretty much like those are the only actual locks that I have. Everyone else is definitely up for interpretation here, but I'm going to throw out Julius Randle.
Yeah, he definitely, I don't know if he's going to get one of the actual reserves or a wild card, but I definitely think he deserves to be an all-star this year. The Knicks have a winning record and they're in the playoff seed.
I think his spot would come down to him as a bonus. Like, they were at the end of mine as well. So which guy you sort of prefer between the two, I think makes it, but they're both very comparable. I think Sabonis has been more consistent, even though he doesn't have the hype. I think he's a better player too in general. So I probably take Sabonis over Randle, even though, you know, again, New York has that hype and Randle's played really well over the course of the year. And he's really taken a lot of steps in his game. And I like what he's done too. Like, I'm not a hater, but you know, Randle's played really well this year, but I would still take Sabonis over him.
Yeah, correction.
Interesting.
Correction, the Knicks don't have a winning record. They're 15-16, but that's like a winning record for them. 500 is like winning.
It's close enough to a winning record.
I think my next guy up, though, would be Middleton. Like, he's been super efficient this year. He's been better than Tatum. And, you know, the Bucks are better than the Celtics. So why would you not have Middleton over Tatum?
I thought about that, and obviously he's shooting way over 50, 40, 90. Right? Like, he's blowing those numbers out of the park. And I don't know where I draw the line is that he's not the primary focus of their offense. He's arguably not their second best player at this point after Jrue Holiday. Drew's been out for, I think, 8 games because of COVID protocols. Definitely has COVID. But that's why I didn't have Middleton on my ballot at all because of that.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Middleton's not on it. Also, the Bucks are third in the East. It used to be that Middleton had that obligatory spot because the Bucks were the first seed for the past like 2 or 3 years, but I'm out.
Are you out of your mind? Man, you are crazy today, man. DeMar DeRozan is an all-star and Chris Middleton is not. What are you smoking today? Oh my goodness.
I think Chris Middleton is definitely in the conversation, and I have to go through this exercise.
Okay.
He might be a wild card. That's what I meant.
No,
he's not a starter.
No. Third place in the Eastern Conference, 50-40-90. That's all you got to say. He's an all-star. Come on.
I think there's some other guys.
Oh, yeah, as my forwards, I have Sabonis and Randle.
Yeah, I have Sabonis. Tatum. I have Sabonis and Randle and Tatum.
I can't believe I'm the one defending Chris Middleton here. I don't even like him.
That's pretty funny.
So wait, who do you have as your three forwards, Josh?
Three forwards, I'd probably go with Sabonis, Middleton. Middleton counts as a forward then, I guess, right? Or is he a guard?
Yeah, Middleton's a forward.
Yeah, and then you probably take Tatum. I mean, yeah, I guess you sort of have to.
Okay.
But I don't think he's been as good as he was last year.
So the main difference we have is Randle instead of Middleton, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys think Randall's having a better year than Middleton? Oh my goodness.
I don't. I think he's going to get in. Just watch.
He's going to get in, man.
Yeah.
No yeah.
Or Sabonis. Realistically, Sabonis is going to be the guy to drop, but I don't know if the coaches would. I don't know, man.
We'll see.
I don't know if they'd drop him.
The other guy we haven't mentioned is Bam. Bam's putting up an amazing year so far. He missed a couple games, but his numbers are like off the charts.
Yeah,
if Bam wasn't injured at the beginning of the year, he would definitely be in.
Yeah, and even Vucevic too. Like, those guys are all players that have to be considered. Bam and Vucevic are probably going to be the players that suffer the most just from a being either injured or being in smaller markets.
Is Vucevic just a case of a good stats, bad team kind of guy? Does he actually affect winning at all?
Yeah, I think so. Like, obviously, his style isn't the most attractive, but imagine the Orlando Magic without Vucevic. They would be complete flaming hot trash. Like, they would be way worse than the Timberwolves.
Yeah, he's leveled up since last year. His defense has gotten a lot better. He's at least, like, average now. And his offense has also gotten better, too. So it's not his fault the Magic suck. They have, like, sort of like Minnesota. They have one starter right now, maybe two. Like, name the guys. He's not really a starter, though.
Yeah,
he's a six-man.
On this team, he should be.
No way.
Who is the Orlando Magic starting five?
No, I'm pointing
out,
like, he's not a starting player. Like, he's not a starting caliber player. Of course, he should be starting over Dwayne Bacon or whoever they're starting.
Yeah. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page here with this. Okay, well, I don't know. I haven't watched a single Orlando Magic minute this year, and I'm pretty happy with it. I saw the Cole Anthony buzzer beater, and that's all I need to know is that Cole Anthony is taking your buzzer-beating shots.
Actually, you know what? I'm changing my pick. Simmons, if he counts as a forward, which I'm assuming he does, he's both, right?
I don't know, because last year they put Jimmy Butler as a forward instead of a guard. Even though he was, you know, Jimmy Butler, he's obviously a point forward. I don't really know where they qualify Simmons. I thought he was a point. He was a guard.
Okay. Well, either way, I have him over Tatum. So Tatum would be in my bottom two.
Okay, that's fine. Ben Simmons is in my lock. So
yeah, he might the defensive player of the year. He's probably second right now behind Gobert. And then, you know, overall, he's had an amazing year. In the last couple of weeks, he's really stepped up too. He's actually driving to the basket now. He's not afraid of getting fouled anymore. It's been fun to see.
Yeah. So wait, who do you guys, I know we only talked about one of the wild card spots, but who do you have in the bottom two? Like, not bottom two, but last two wild card spots.
Josh, you want to take this one?
Well, I guess I'd have Tatum. And then left over between Adebayo, LaVine, Randall. Yeah, who am I missing? Van Vliet, maybe. I guess you could say.
Hayward, Grant.
Trae Young. We haven't talked about Trae Young yet.
Yeah, Trae Young can take a hard seat at home. He's going to be in Atlanta anyways, but for the wrong reasons.
I think he might get in, though. Like, the coaches might vote him in because, you know, he has pretty good raw stats. I don't think he should make it.
No way. No way. Not with that team. Not with that losing record.
Yeah, no. With Trae Young, he's a flashy player, and, like, obviously the fans see the highlights, but I think the coaches and even the other players think there's probably going to be players that overall play a better game and have a bigger impact on winning. And I still think he hasn't made a big jump in his game. Like, he's obviously still putting up good numbers, and his numbers even haven't dipped that much, but it's just the impact of playing good basketball, winning basketball.
Yeah, and I think at this point you have to put LaVine on the team. How can you leave a guy off that's averaging 29-5-4 on 50, I think he's averaging 50-40-90 or 50-40-85 or something like that. Yeah. And the Chicago Bulls are one game under 500, just like the Knicks are.
So for me, my bottom two, I have Zach LaVine for sure in the wild card spot. And then the pick was between Chris Middleton and Ben Simmons. So that, and I went with Chris Middleton.
Wow.
So I left off Ben Simmons. Obviously, there's some candidates like Vucevic, and, like, obviously Van Vliet's been good, and
Norman Powell,
Pascal Siakam.
No.
Norm Powell,
Boucher.
Norm Powell when Kyle Lowry's not on the floor.
Norman Powell's a starter. There you go.
Yeah, only as a starter though.
Yep. Yeah. So let's go through this. I know we all agree on James Harden, Jaylen Brown. Peter, let's go with your three front court and your two wild cards, because I need to make sure we're all clear on this.
So I have Sabonis, Randall, and Tatum.
Yeah.
And then LaVine and Ben Simmons.
Okay. Josh?
I think I had Sabonis, Tatum, LaVine, Simmons, and who was my last pick? Middleton.
Okay. So you basically, me and Peter have the same thing. It's just I have...
You have Middleton instead of Simmons.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And Josh doesn't have Randall. He has Chris Middleton instead. But we have basically the same guys, right?
Yeah,
it's just that one spot that we're rotating through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, Josh, man, that's how unconvinced I am of your Chris Middleton take. You actually forgot about him in your roster.
I thought I said Middleton last.
Yeah, you were like, who is my last guy? Oh, yeah, Chris Middleton.
He is forgettable. Let's just be honest. He's one of the most boring players in the league, but he gets it done.
Who's more boring, him or Vucevic?
Vucevic, because no one appreciates the center's game.
I like Vucevic's footwork and skill, so I would take watching Vucevic over Middleton.
Wow.
I mean, Orlando's the least watchable team in the league, but Vucevic actually is somewhat watchable.
Yeah, to have a team less watchable than the Detroit Pistons is really extraordinary.
It's a lot of hard work.
Okay. Let's just go through one other thing just for All-Star, because we always talk about the snubs, and every year there's always one player that either through injury, they play on a bad team or whatnot. Who's your one big snub from each conference?
I think you'd have to go with Bam, since none of us had him on our teams. Like, he missed a few games, but he's averaging like 19-10-6. On really good percentages. He shoots the free throw as well too. I think he has to be the biggest snub,
at least from the East.
And silently, Jimmy Butler too. Whenever Butler's played, he's averaging like close to a triple double, man. He's averaging 19, 7 and 7.5 and 7.5. like add a few more points and those are LeBron level numbers. You know, like by a few I mean like 7 or 8 points.
Yeah. And add like 2 assists, but yeah.
No, 7.5 and 7.5? Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah, but he's those not one of the bigger snubs because Miami hasn't been good this year.
Yeah, and it's it's probably his fault that he got COVID, let's be real. But yeah, so I would say those two out of the East. And then obviously shouts to like Gordon Hayward. We already talked about him. Hopefully his wrist or his hand is okay after going down yesterday. Who else is there? Jeremy Grant, obviously, Van Vliet. But the snubs, yeah, the biggest snubs are definitely Adebayo, maybe Butler. But what and whoever that one line, that one player that we all don't agree on is.
Yeah,
Randall,
yeah.
Middleton, Simmons.
I think tonight, though, I think it's going to come down to Randall versus Sabonis. I think one of those guys will be the snub.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Randall, realistically.
I think Sabonis is not going to make it.
Yeah, with the fan voting.
No, it's all coaches for reserves.
Oh, okay.
But... what is it? What's it called? Indiana is like what, fourth in the East right now?
Yeah, but they're like one game up on the Knicks.
Yeah,
yeah, it's true.
And Randall has a hype from the last couple of weeks, so maybe the coaches look at that. Who knows?
Yeah. For me, the biggest snub, obviously, we mentioned Bam, but in the West, I think not including Booker because I don't have him would be possibly a snub, and then another player too who I think doesn't get enough love just because their team isn't that great is John Morant. I think he's actually had a pretty good year, not shooting the ball wise, but overall he's fun to watch. He's made some leaps in his game and he's managed to stay healthy. So I would
he's
like.
Been, he's been injured for a lot of the season, hasn't he? He missed like 5 to 10 games somewhere around there.
He missed three weeks. So if he didn't miss those 3 weeks, he'd definitely be in the conversation, but he's also shooting like 23% from three. So
yeah.
I mean, Memphis had their moments this year where they wanted like that 5-game winning streak and they're around 500 and everything. It's just, they somehow survived without him, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah. It's good coaching. Should have got Taylor Jenkins to the Timberwolves.
Yep.
He would have actually helped. And also, out of the West, like De'Aaron Fox is having an incredible year after getting shat on so much the past like few months. Christian Wood, big shout out, our guy. Everyone here loves Christian Wood. So
yeah, Raj's Rockets, who are going to have the best record out of Texas.
They will. Just you wait.
Oh man, if Christian Wood didn't get hurt, maybe they could.
They're 0-8 without him.
Really?
Yes. They were one game over 500 with them, and then 0-8 since he's been gone.
They've lost 8 straight.
Yeah, I can't predict injuries, okay? Like, it's not my fault. Like, I can't predict injuries.
They are going in the tank.
Man. San Antonio is going to be the best team to come out of the out of Texas. That's amazing.
That's not happening.
And you don't have, and you don't think DeMar DeRozan is an all-star?
No. Also, the biggest snub tonight is going to be one of the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
DeMar is not making it, first of all. And one of those two guys will be, you know, the last pick. It'll either be Booker or Paul as number 12.
Who do you think it'll be?
I think coaches love Chris Paul, so I think Booker's not making it.
Yeah, I would go there.
Unfortunately, I agree.
But maybe Zion doesn't make it either because coaches see how bad he is on defense.
Yeah, actually, yeah, the Pelicans are 4 games under .500, eh? They're 13-17.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I think the coaches will end up taking both Booker and Chris Paul. Zion sits and then gets voted in, or not voted in, but assigned by Adam Silver.
That's how it should be.
That's going to be my prediction.
That's how it should be. My Phoenix Suns are, what, fourth place in the West, just like I said they would be?
Did you say that?
I did.
Oh.
That was one of my early season predictions, along with Minnesota making the playoffs. At least I man up to it.
Yeah. Yeah, about that. About
I
about
can't predict Minnesota health either, okay?
Yeah.
And Cat's entire family getting COVID. And I mean, how can you predict that?
I mean, it was like that going into the season, dog.
Well, we didn't know about that until the first couple weeks.
I thought we knew about that during the off season.
No, we knew that his mom passed away, but he said in an interview the first couple weeks that like every single member of his family got it.
Mm-hmm. Every single
member. He said like 16 people in his family got it.
He said 7.
Yeah, it felt like 16.
7 plus him is 8. Half of 16. There you go.
I thought he said it was over 10, but anyways.
Oh, man. All right, quickly, any randoms that we want to throw up for the dunk contest or three-point contest here? Guys who we think should be in?
Well, I think Fred VanVleet should be in. I think it'd just be entertaining to get him in, especially because he's not going to be making the All-Star team, and he had a game, what, against Orlando where he hit 11 threes? So I have to put in VanVleet. Obviously, I think Joe Harris is going to be there, and I think he's going to win it. And I think it'd be nice to see PG actually participate in the three-point contest.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, all the 50-40-90 guys should make it.
Was it Robinson that won last year?
Joe Harris?
Or Harris?
Was it Harris?
I thought it was Harris.
Oh, it was a white guy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's definitely a white guy. It's not Chris Middleton, that's for sure.
What is the equivalent of starting in the three-point contest? Because I think if, like, you had Norman Powell go first, I think he'd have a shot.
No, he needs pull-up time.
By the way, it was Buddy Yield that won last year, and I think Josh won money on that.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right. Not so much a white guy. That's our bad.
Buddy Yield is like the most forgettable player in the league this year. He's been terrible.
Yeah. He's been awful.
Yeah. How about dunk contest, guys? Derrick Jones Jr.?
I mean,
anybody else that pops out?
In a perfect world, you have Zion versus LaVine.
Yeah, no, I don't. LaVine's not going back. Aaron Gordon isn't going to go back because, you know, his ankle's broken. Zion would be fun.
He's not going to do that. If he makes the All-Star team, he would be in the... I mean, he said that last year anyway. He'd be in the dunk contest.
I doubt that he would do it this year. He's going to go out during halftime of the game.
Doesn't even change his jersey.
Come on. Oh my goodness. Who else is there? I like Miles Bridges out of Charlotte. That dude can get up. And you would bring in LaMelo to be his assist man? I'm definitely just trying to drive up my top shot values, but
yeah. And COVID might not let him bring out any co-stars, but I think honestly John Collins might end up coming just because he is from Atlanta. And another player who is known a bit for his hops is Obi Toppin.
Yeah, Toppin's nice.
Yeah, I think he'll get a chance to show off some dunks, and he's a rookie, and the NBA really uses this as a platform to grow some of their young stars and get them center stage.
Oh, yeah. On that note, Anthony Edwards. Get him the dunk contest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Just make it an all-rookie dunk contest.
Why not? You got some good players.
No, because then Miles Bridges can't get in. Or reigning champion Derrick Jones Jr. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Are those guys anything to write home about? Yeah.
Derrick Jones Jr.? Yeah. Come on. Yeah, that guy's a flyer.
He's all right.
All right, I'm done with you. You guys got anything else you want to add in here? It'll be good.
DeMar DeRozan. Oh, my goodness. I still can't believe you're taking him over the Suns. Come on, man. Or Zion. Imagine taking DeMar DeRozan over Zion in anything.
I took DeMar over Zion just because I knew Zion would get the Adam Silver push anyways. I took that into account.
I don't like your method.
But I'm telling you, man, DeMar's had a sneakily good year.
That's not an all-star year. 19.9 points per game, 7 assists. You might as well just give it to Conley.
7 assists.
Might as well give it to Conley.
I like that none of us chose Mike Conley to be an all-star, even though we said that he should be in there.
No, he should have been in the past. I don't think this year he's made as strong of a case as some of the other players ahead of him.
If he didn't get hurt, I think he would be in it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but yeah. That
because they went in. Like 8-0 without him, so that definitely does not help his case.
This is better for his legacy anyway. He's remembered as maybe the best player never to be picked for an All-Star versus getting picked one time during a COVID year.
Exactly, along with Mike Bibby and Andre Miller.
Especially Andre Miller. And Norm Powell.
Okay, well, hey, there's still time, Josh.
That's true.
Maybe he gets a starting job next year, who knows?
He'll be a starter somewhere.
MVP candidate, Norm Powell. All right, guys, I'm going to call it here. I think that's all the time we have for this week. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and comment on iTunes. That's Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, all the other major podcast platforms. You can hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Hoops Corner Pod. And until next time, peace.